Welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. My name is Jay Shalansky, and joining me this week, as always, is Evan the Trash Panda Burris.
Hey Jay, how's it going?
Good, buddy. Did you eat any trash today, is the question.
Okay, you know, this joke's gone on quite far enough.
Some would say not far enough. Have you eaten any trash today?
I have not, actually.
I say.
No trash. I only eat trash. Never. I never eat trash. That's
lies.
Complete shenanigans, malarkey.
That drink that you just poured outside looked like hot trash.
It was just one of the purple sugar-free monsters. And I poured it out, I'm like, oh, the drink's purple too. Well, that can't be good for me. That's probably bad. Well, whoops.
Yeah. That's okay. You're going to be just fine.
Big oof.
Speaking of Trash Panda, just a reminder, through the end of the month, if you become a subscriber to our Patreon at any level, you can get a limited edition Jedi Trash Panda sticker. Every one of our Patreons in January will be shipping it out to all of you. On any level. If you join at the $2 level, you'll get it as well. As long as you remember in January, when January starts, we will send you out a sticker. And so it's cool. It's just a limited edition thing. The reason the push for the Patreon is, you know, we got a lot of live stream stuff coming up.
Jeez,
and we'd like to get a little bit of money so that we can afford some equipment and some travel and all that stuff.
Yeah, we got some other possible big moves coming this coming year, you know, besides Adepticon and LVO. We had to look at financials, right? Like, can we actually go to this? We also have, keep tuned. We also have some other surprises coming soon, about different alt cards we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be cool too.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff going on at the Fifth Trooper Network here for you during the holidays.
Na, 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 na.
Speaking of next week, we will not be quote unquote live-ish. You know, week to week, we record in that week generally, usually the day before we go live.
So you get the hottest of takes.
Right. But unfortunately next week it is, I guess not unfortunate, but it is a holiday. So we've actually pre-recorded the Fifth Trooper Network Holiday Spectacular. And, it'll be a two-part episode spanning across, starting on the Scoundrels on Monday and then spanning to the Fifth Trooper on Tuesday. Really excited about that. So stay tuned. That'll be next week. Two-part Holiday Spectacular. And, you know, last year what we did was we just ran the same episode and we just published it on both at the same time. This is two separate episodes, two-parter. Part one starting on Scoundrels on Monday, part two, Fifth Trooper on Tuesday.
It's pretty good, not gonna lie. As being part of creating it, it's pretty good.
I had fun. At first I was like, I don't know, guys, I don't think this is gonna work. And then we got through it, and I was like, oh, this was really good.
It became such a mess. It became great.
Yeah,
like, right. Like,
it's fantastic. So keep your ears out for that. That'll be next week. What's happened, Evan? What happened since we last parted ways with our audience here?
We got a new news drop. Well, we got a few new news drops, right?
Yeah.
And so first thing is I have to take back everything I said about Legion paint kits.
You take it all back.
Take everything back, because I was at the shop and I've been kind of going in on this Hoth list. And I'm like, well, you know what? I might start streaming myself painting them, because I think that might be fun. And so I was looking at the paints, and I'm like, looking at this wall of Vallejo and the wall of Citadel, and I'm like, I have the veteran box up to each paint, trying to figure it out, like, what color looks right. And then the store owner, Mike's like, hey, do you ever think about doing that, just that kit of Star Wars Legion paint? I'm like, no, that's that's dumb. So I opened it up. So I pick it up and I'm like, oh, it's got the khaki right there. So I was like looking at this, like, two new paintbrushes, and the paintbrushes say Star Wars Legion on them. Oh, no. So I,
so good.
So I bought the core set, the $50 one that comes with the 18 paints.
It's $50?
It's like 16 to 18 paints and two brushes, which is pretty good. It's actually not bad for the amount of stuff you get. Considering each paint's probably like $4 to $5 a piece. But, so, well, I also got it on their super sale. So it ended up being like $30 or something with it. So
even better. Nice.
But I was looking at that, so I'm like, going to be using that to paint the troopers. So
All right.
So all the times I'm like, oh, paint article, lame. Now I'll be looking at them like, well, you know, maybe maybe I could use that for something.
Interesting.
The brushes helped because I needed some new brushes. Mine are getting pretty. So I take care of my stuff as best as I know how. But, oh, hey. Okay.
With his little easy. Raccoon mitts.
Easy.
And his deck primer.
All right. You know what? Okay, we're going to back up this deck primer thing. Jay's like, oh, just go to a hardware store. Any primer is primer. And so I'm like,
that's not what I said.
You sure was close.
No.
That's what I remember you saying.
Yeah.
And then
what
you
remembered I said and what I actually said. Two different things.
Yes. So, sad days, but I'm like, wow, $6. This beats the $20 I pay for Citadel primer.
We had this whole conversation, and he just got to the store, and he was like, he said any primer. He said you could just get it at the hardware store.
I even brought a little can of it extra as well, so I could fill in the spots. I was ready, and it was a mistake. So, live and learn. That said,
the most screwed up part about this is most of them were already primed for you, and you reprimed them.
I had dreams of grandeur.
You could have just painted them black at that point with regular paint.
Maybe. You know what? Like, it's Rush Roader. At first, it was a joke, and now I'm just like, yeah, I know they're black guys. I know they're shiny. I get it. It's bad. Doing the same with the Rebel Troopers. Thank God. But the nice thing about the clones, they're detailed, but they're guys in armor, so you can just spray over them and whatever,
sure,
right?
It'll be fine.
I didn't do, one OB is primed black, one is not. So we're 50-50.
Perfect.
So we're good there, but yeah, it's, you know.
Ignore that noise. That's just the heater kicking in because it's cold
outside. So besides,
it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
Besides paint shenanigans, we did get three new articles. I don't think we talked about the other article. Supplies.
We did.
Did we? I don't.
Yeah,
remember.
I think that dropped before we recorded, and we went through the cards.
Okay.
And so we need to talk about the units.
We might have. We talk about a lot, so I kind of forget.
We do talk about a lot
about what we might have. But hey,
would say we talk about an hour every week.
At least that's not all the stuff we cut out or all the shellacking we give each other.
We do cut a lot out.
Actually, we barely cut anything else out. It's just one take.
I wanted them to think that they were missing something. Okay. You guys are. You're missing all the good parts.
Hidden episodes.
We don't even give you the good talk. We give you the
bad talk.
We give you the mediocre at best talk. Fair. All the good talk happens when the mics are off.
So, okay. We did get two new unit commander / operative, if you feel like it, packs.
Okay.
We got Iden and Iden and Dio, or Ideo, or however you want to say it.
Ideo.
And Cassian Andor and K2SO finally.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was getting worried about. So they announced K2SO and X-Wing in a card pack, like back at their big reveal at Gen Con.
Okay.
Because everyone was wondering where he even was as a crew. Because they had Cassian, they had Jin, they had like everybody from Rogue One except him. And so he got announced in a card pack. And funny enough, this might come out before that. And this was just announced last week. So we actually get Cassian and KTSO into a two mini form.
Interesting.
And they've got some interesting new rules.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So they didn't spoil K2SO's cards. We don't know anything about what he does, but we do know what Cassian does.
Cassian's a pretty cool looking. So I think in the model too, you can have him with sniper with pistol. So he's got sniper in the paint, and then if you scroll down to the actual article here, make sure you pistol. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it when they give you the extra options. So we'll go over his card real quick. So he's got covert ops as his first keyword. He's, we think, 90 points. It's pretty blurry. We know K2SO is looks like 70. We don't know what anything he does besides he can take a comms and a configuration. And Cassian is what looks anywhere to be 80 to 90. It's hard. It's real blurred. So we're just kind of guessing.
Yep.
His first keyword is covert ops. So when you deploy, you can choose to take him as an operative. If he does, he gains infiltrate. So he can like scout ahead before the rest of the army gets there, which is pretty cool. So you can have him and Jin possibly together to make a sweet Rogue One team.
Yeah, and the Pathfinders.
And Pathfinders with Jin. And not Jin, but Pow and Bistan.
Yep.
And have a sweet, cool, thematic team. And that probably looks like it might be pretty good. I think it'd be pretty scary to drop Jin, him, and like a couple sets of Pathfinders on a on an objective. Like right now it feels a little light, but with him there too, with all of his abilities, it might be a tough nut to crack. He has Danger Sense 3, which is, now that they eroded it to work in melee too, real good. So if he gets jumped by like a Tauntaun, he might be okay depending on how or a smiling Dewback rolls up. He's got loadout, which is, we don't know what like it means, but it more or less says when you deploy, you may swap any of your equipped upgrades with your something able upgrades. I don't know. That's really blurry. But so it sounds like you can have a sideboard, and this is something I've been kind of, you've heard me harp on a while ago, was being able to take, like, especially from a gear slot where, man, you look at a board and let's say you take grappling hooks and you play at a tournament and not one of the maps you play on requires grappling hooks at all.
Yeah.
So it's a wasted, it's only 2 points or 3 points, but it's still an upgrade you'd wish you could have taken. But it'd be cool to be able to swap out environmental gear for grappling hooks, or right, like you go into a city map and you're like, oh man, grappling hooks are, this is it, this is the time, right? So that's really cool. He's got marksman. While attacking, you can spend aim tokens to improve your attack die results. Don't know what that means, other than we're, Jay and I are thinking if you roll blank, maybe turn to a hit. If you roll a hit, turn to a crit, possibly.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, it's something. And then tactical one, after you perform a standard move, gain an aim. So he can like move, gain an aim, fire, marksman. Yep. Right, that's pretty good. He's got two red melee, which is always funny to me. Sure, I guess he did beat up some guys.
Yeah.
Then he's got a Cassian's covert blaster. Range 1 to 2, red to white, pierce 1, rolls white die, he surges on both, movement 2, health 6, courage 2, he's got 2 trainings, a tech, and a configuration slot. And they spoiled one card, his A200 CFE sniper config, gives him 1 to infinite, red and a black, high velocity, pierce 1, reconfigure, we don't know what the other side says. But it's cool that
there's another word on there too. What's that word?
Cumbersome.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yep.
So cumbersome. So you can't move and shoot. So you'd get to a spot, right? You could either deploy with it.
Right. So that your tactical one doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Not with that round, but you could deploy with it, or you could ready and, you know, what's really interesting about him is you can adapt to what you're put at, and he's going to, we'll get to Aiden in a sec, but they seem like the ultimate, like, no matter what map you're on, you could probably find a use for them.
Yeah, they're like Swiss Army knives almost.
Yeah, where it kind of feels bad when you take a stationary gun or like an E-Web sometimes, and you're like, well, this isn't going to do anything right this game. And they revealed one card, his one pip, Crackshot, applies just to Cassian. Cassian Andor gains Gunslinger, which means he gets to shoot twice with whatever gun he's using at different targets. And one aim token. At the end of the activation, he may gain one suppressive token and gains one standby token.
Hmm.
So you can like fire twice, and then when somebody puts off your standby, you can fire twice again, right? Like, because you still have Gunslinger, I think.
Right.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
He's a strong lad there. And we don't know what K2SO does.
Right.
They show a pistol that looks like it can work with gin or KTSO. It just says Pierce 1 suppressive.
We don't even know what rank he is.
Yeah, there's three tokens there. And also to note that Cassian looks like he's got three cards. And then there's a fourth card face down. And they allude that K2SO might give you a card too. So that's pretty cool too. You know, I'm excited.
Yeah, and it looks like the whole we'll get to the next one in a second, but it looks like four new command cards, three for Cassian and one for K2SO.
That's cool. I remember
nine upgrade cards.
One of our good listeners, Houston, would really be looking forward to. He said, "I'd play Rebels if they ever released Cassian." And
here you go,
here you go, my man. Yeah. This is it. We'll,
get ready.
He's Houston's a real good painter, so I'd be interested to see how he, you know, he decks this all out. So
you know what the crazy part is? These are we'll see if it happens, but they're scheduled for Q1 of 2020.
So, you know, man, like we'll get to Aiden here, but the other problem with things getting pushed back is, yeah, you're not getting them right now, and that stinks. But then everything gets dumped kind of at once.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a really expensive couple months for Legion, where if you sparse it out more, it doesn't feel so bad. So.
Well, yeah, because you know what, we were supposed to have R2C3PO, the bunker, and
there's another
something else was all supposed to come out before
piece, yeah.
Before Christmas, right, or around or before January, R2, anyways.
The bunker, the unit add-ons. So,
oh yeah, the unit add-ons. Yep, those were all supposed to be out in December.
Vader, Operative Vader.
That
Operative
was
Luke.
Supposed to be November. Yeah.
So we're in. Let's say all that just dumps in January.
Right.
Doubtful. Right. They'll probably do a little bit and a little bit. Yeah. Plus, like the tank comes out in February or March. Like
who knows?
Both the new
point,
tanks,
yeah.
The new.
That and then they did announce the Phase 2 troopers and the B2 battle droids.
Yeah, it's going to get... And it is to note that these two unit boxes are up at $22 price point, but you get two models in there,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not
that's
like...
Fine.
Yeah, that's reasonable. So that, I mean, but still, like, if you're trying to... Hey, man, I'm on a budget when I'm looking at, like, stuff to buy, and, you know, I'm kind of buying for two armies. Oddly, thankfully... the clones, everything got pushed back, so I don't have to, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not right now. But with this too, like, I still like my Rebels, and so Cassian looks cool, and I'd love to run I'm a theme guy, so I'd love to run a two Pathfinder Jin K2 yep. Cassian army. That'd be really cool. Like, no, my money, like my time and my money.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's interesting. This is what I wanted them to do with C-3PO and R2-D2, but instead they, I don't know why, but they put it with a terrain piece. They're like, well, let's throw a terrain piece in there and add $20.
I know
bucks.
Why. As a, they wanted to sell that terrain piece, right?
Yeah.
Which, like, honestly, I bought the downed AT-SD, and that's one of the two things I've ever bought in that for whatever reason, I just look at it and go, I have to paint this. So, like, the land speeder,
yeah.
I just bought it to paint, and then that thing I just looked at, I'm like, I think I could do okay on that,
dude.
So.
It's so funny. So I bought it and I've literally never opened it. It's just sitting on my shelf. I'm like, I don't care about this.
Well, you know, we talk about how we're kind of like getting fatigued from competitive play because there's
yep.
always a tournament and there's always something
yep.
we're going to, and that set of rules in there are not a competitive objective. So in my actual physical table time is kind of light compared to other people who play. So when I play, I have to play, you know, if someone says skirmish, that's one thing. Yeah, I can get like two skirmish games and I still get some Legion. I still get some unit
yeah.
reps in. But if some 800-point game, like I generally want to play what, even if I'm not playing like a quote-unquote sweaty list, I'm just like, you know, just playing like my Hoth army.
Yeah.
I still want to play an 800-point game with rules that I would play at a tournament so I can practice, right? And as cool as the AT-SD is, I wish I had time to play casual fun games. Like that, because I can just put it down, you put the AT-SD down, you play the objective, but I won't get a whole lot out of that. Whereas if I, I'm like how I'm playing my army is like how the deployment cards and everything go, right? Like it's
right.
all, that's part of the game, right?
Yep.
So it's unfortunate. It's just, I envy the folks who buy this game and just get to play it as like a casual kitchen game. Because man, like the AT-SD, probably great. You know, you put it down.
Yeah.
It's a new way to play.
I don't know that I envy them as much. I think... I don't know. I wonder. So what's that other game that they had, the other Star Wars mini game that they have? Imperial Assault.
Oh, rip.
So I bought the box for that because I really liked Descent, right?
Yeah.
Like, I liked it. I liked Dungeon. I love D&D.
Yeah.
I love Dungeon Crawl stuff. Massive Darkness is another Dungeon Crawl type game, right? Zombie Side. They're all that tile-based Dungeon Crawl type system, right? And I was like, oh my God, a Star Wars game. I literally opened it once, was like, oh, these minis are so cool. And then I was just like, I played it once. I was like, okay, I'm good now.
You know, I was given the starter from a friend who's like, man, I'll never touch this again. And that was after the apples were released. So I can like, oh, the app plays the bad guys for you. So everyone gets to play good guy, right?
Right.
That might be fun. It's all right. You know, there's a couple people I know who swear by the competitive scene. Like, everything is... Like, there's no measuring because it's all hexes. You know where things going, and I totally understand that. And I think this is the last year FFG is supporting it because they're just like, no, it's skirmishes out. They're like, man, play skirmish if you want
right.
to play that, which is fine, right? The only thing is, like, all those minis are not to scale for Legion.
Oh, I know.
So you can't even, like...
Such a big mistake.
Yeah, like, I get it. But at the same time, like, if I was a dedicated IA guy and I'm like, yeah, I will go to Legion and I can't even just rebase them. Right, like just cut,
right.
you know, even put their base on top of another base and just say, hey, he's a stormtrooper now. That kind of stinks.
Yeah, it's you know, this was the thing, I think, Massive Darkness by Cool Mini or not, which don't get me, I don't like them either. But one of the things that they did was they clearly made the Zombicide Black Plague and Massive Darkness with D&D in mind, right?
Yeah.
They were like, okay, you're gonna play our game, but then there's a solid chance you're gonna use these characters and monsters in D&D. It's very close. They're very close to the D20 system as far as the characters and the monsters and stuff. And so it's just interesting. Like they were like, yep, so we're gonna make them this scale because this is the scale D&D's in. This is what we're gonna do. And yeah, and then it's just interesting from a company perspective. I made an entire miniatures game with all these minis and all these sculpts that I can't use now because I made them the next size down.
Yeah, I mean, for Legion, yeah, 100%.
Right.
For their pen and paper, the Star Wars Genesis system, I used my Legion figures for that when we wanted to play a couple times. Though the game is more or less, like, you don't really... The way we play, you kind of just... You don't really set out a map, and it's not, like, as crunchy combat-wise as... D&D is for like 5 foot steps. It's more like long, medium, short. So you can kind of get generalities when you're laying them out your stuff.
Yeah.
It's not as like you don't have to have a grid map kind of thing. And I guess you could still 100% use the IA guys for that. But then again, you probably, if you're listening to this, you probably have Legion guys. So you're probably using your Legion guys for that, right? Like, so these IA guys don't even get. I mean, I used the Thrawn. I bought the Thrawn mini because it was Thrawn. And I bought the Bounty Hunters because they were the Bounty Hunters. Before I even knew Legion was going to release them, the Boba Fett anyway, like IG and Dengar and stuff.
Is there a Star Wars RPG on the D20 system?
There's an old one. Not great anymore. Genesis is real good though. The Genesis system.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real fun.
Is it?
It is.
Is it fun?
Yes. Anyway,
is it real fun?
It is real fun.
Okay.
Back to the article.
Tell me how fun it is again, though.
It is real fun.
Okay, good. Is it real fun, though?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Aiden.
Go on.
Aiden, things to note. She's 100 points. She comes with the robot.
We think she's 100 points.
That I can see. That was pretty...
All right.
Not so blurry.
All right. Well, you're gonna be sad when it's
100 and, or unless it's a five, like 500 points.
500 points.
She's
the only miniature in your skirmish army.
But hey, if she's good enough, that'd be a fun list to play. So she, we'll go down her stats before I go through her.
Because
one thing to note is she's 6 health, which is fine. Rolls red dice, cool. But she's got 3 courage, so she's one of. A not force user in the Imperial Army who's got 3 courage, so it's not you get that better bubble that to pay 200 points,
right?
She just surges to hit, not defense. She's got the same two red dice for melee, and then Iden's 11 blaster rifle. Three white with pierce one. Sad, but 1 to 3. Two trainings, a tech, and a configuration. So she's got quick thinker, which was originally only on Jin. So you get an aim and a surge for an action, which is good. Covert ops, same thing as Cassian, which is you can choose to go in as a operative instead of a commander and gain infiltrate. So it's, you could possibly run like generic in her, Boba Fett and Bosk, and then decide to go in with her as an operative too. I don't know if that's any good, but it'd be, that's a lot of operatives, right? Yeah. Like
a lot of points.
You just leave that poor generic officer back.
Yeah, because that's almost 400 points just in characters right there.
And I mean, that sounds bad because it's only like, what, 4 actions so far before, but all those will do something good, right? They're not like a group. She's got the loadout thing where she can swap out upgrades. Marksman, same thing as Cassian, where she can increase her die results, whatever that pertains to, for an aim. But she also has nimble, which is important. So if you get her in like a bad spot by accident, with red dice plus nimble, she's not quite as tanky as Sabine, but she's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, you got quick thinking. So you do quick thinking, attack, and then, you know, we haven't got to it, but she's got a sniper rifle as well. We can get to that now. So she's 1 to infinity, 2 black, high velocity, and pierce 1 for 15 points.
Yep.
And so, you know, you quick think, you snipe something, you got your aim, your dodge, and then you have nimble in case something shoots back at you, and you're like,
okay. Pretty okay. Yeah. That's real legit. Her other weapon that they kind of half thing, it's 1 to 3 maybe, critical something, impact something.
Yep.
Whatever,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually very anti-vehicle.
I love critical something.
It's like that poor airspeeder just never gonna catch a break, right? It's like, well, I'm 140 points now, guys. I'm finally getting to play. Well, here comes Iden with critical and impact, just one shots it. But I like how just the heroes have infinite now. Infinite's a strong, super strong ability, and it should be kind of restrained. That's why snipers got to 5. But I don't mind heroes having, because at least you're only getting shot infinitely like once a turn, right? Yeah. Like, and at least it's by a named person, not just some Jamoku showed up. Yeah,
it makes more sense.
Yeah, I think that's fine. And then her one pip pulse scan, Iden Verso gains sharpshooter 2 and 1 aim token. At the end of her activation, she gains 1 dodge token and 1 standby token. That's really good. Like,
yeah.
Even just for the... Even if you know you're going to lose that standby, but hey, you play it, you maybe ice something real quick, and then she's sharpshooter too, so you don't even get cover, right?
Yeah, I wonder too. I think you may see a lot like she's going to be maybe Cassian as well, but like I think she's going to be more of a support piece than a main piece. Like, because I'm thinking about like Krennic. Let's say I'm running her with Krennic. Would I want to use her pulse scan in place of... You wouldn't
replace Voracious, no, but maybe run it with it.
Maybe, but I kind of like having a generic one pip, you know, because this is only for her.
Yep.
She doesn't have a comm slot, so I can't do that. I can't push.
Silly shenanigans.
Yeah, I can't relay anything. So, I don't know. It kind of...
Well, I think with her, you put your main army one spot.
Yeah.
And instead of infiltrating her somewhere silly to get her like killed, because you're gonna do that a couple times, because infiltrate sounds real good until you realize the whole other army gets to shoot at you. On
it's fine until you overextend and put them somewhere crazy.
Yeah, like the problem is that's the way they sell you the keyword, right? They're like, oh, you can go anywhere outside range 3, and you're like, well, over in their deployment zone, right? And then you just get blasted.
During the played a game with Operative Vader on TTS, and I was like, infiltrate Vader, you got it. And I put him right behind their enemy lines, and then everyone's like, everybody shoot that man. And I was like, no. I'm like, this isn't real, Vader.
Why did this happen like this?
Yeah.
This must be just my dice.
6 health and 3 courage. Lame.
But I mean, you could put her, so you have your whole army contesting one point, and then you put her on the flank that your enemy, so right when you do, like, let's say intercept, you always like go 1 for 1 or 2, and then you kind of each get that one that you just don't really care about. You could put her on that one you don't care about and take it. Like that, yeah. she'll kill a babysitting group of stormtroopers. She'll kill a babysitting group of shores. Like, if they're left alone to their own devices, away from your main army, or like anything rebel. So, I think that should be good for her.
She's interesting too. So you can kind of see the edge of what's the guy? What's her Bobot's name?
ID10.
So there's no point there. So I'm assuming that it comes with her.
Yeah, it just all we see is it just says plus like one health.
Yeah.
I imagine that if it gets bricked, so if it gets scoped, that's a real sad day.
Sure. But it'd be interesting to see what the rules are, how close it has to be to her, you know.
Yeah. This is cool. Like, I remember, man, way back at Adepticon last year when Alex and Luke had that open talk, and they were just shooting ideas, and someone said, you know, teams of guys, like, people just really want the Rebels team.
Yeah.
Right? They want Ezra and Rex.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And they really want that four group of team. Like, and they're like, well, he kind of like kicked back. He's like, okay, that's nuts, but let's talk about, we've talked about duels a lot.
Yeah.
And the first one I came to mind, I didn't think of Iden and a robot. I didn't think of Cassian and K2SO. I thought Chiro and Blaze from.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that'd be, because they went together all the time. You've got a melee guy, you got a shooter guy. You could price them at almost like 150 to 160 points because they're just mean in both.
Right.
Like, that might be cool. And so I've been surprised of but what they've been. I mean, R2-D2 and C-3PO, right, it makes sense, but it's cool what they're doing with that idea.
Right.
Instead of, you know, like, it's way different from what I thought, but still cool, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting. Like, we were talking before the cast, and I was saying I boycotted Battlefield 2 hard, and not that they noticed, but I just refused because of all the loot box stuff that was happening in the beginning. And I'm like, I'm not going to give them my money. I'm just not. I love Star Wars too much to buy into this. And so I don't have any connection to Iden at all, like zero. Yeah. And so I was just like, oh, yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have seen some other stuff, you know. I know probably Disney and everybody else is trying to forget, but I liked Solo, the movie. And there was a ton of cool characters in that, and they would all fit into this Galactic War era. So
it's really odd how little actually came out of Solo. Like, we got X-Wing got the new Falcon.
Yeah.
And I think that was it. And then this game got nothing.
Right.
Right, and there's Mud Trooper, or the Conscripts, right? The Mud Trooper guys. There's an X-Wing. There's the TIE Punisher. The Punisher, the Bruiser. It's a TIE fighter with, like, a cannon on the side that, like, didn't ever go anywhere. Like, there's a lot of potential, right? Like, in that movie, and for them not to pull anything out is kind of a bummer. Like, you get Young Han as an operative, right? That'd be cool.
Okay, so, but even skipping that and just using regular Han, right? You have, I mean, how much younger is he? 10 years younger,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah, he's considered, like, a different.
So, but you would have those, I forgot what they were called, but those stormtroopers that were dressed up in, like, the fleece, the.
Oh, yeah, they're not shocks. They're, I saw the black figure toy a while ago. I didn't really remember what their name was, but they're like the ice, the guys, the boots they could have climbing, right?
So, well, I'm sure people are going to yell at us in our, they'll comment on this, tell us what they are. I forgot. Sorry.
You're not sorry.
I'm not sorry. No, I don't I don't even care.
You're not sorry.
So them, you have Nest, like, right? Like, she would be.
Her and her group.
Yep. They could be rebels. They're part of rebels, right? You have a bunch of scoundrels that you could add. You have Crimson Dawn you could add.
You can pull a Maul from there if you want to for that timeline.
Sure.
Right, instead of the prequel era, you could pull Kira, like, she was a character, right? She had some stuff.
I guess they don't fight for the Empire or the Rebels. They're kind of.
The problem is it's very. If they ever did a scum villainy faction where it's just unassociated peoples who like money. Then they'd probably show up there.
Yeah, you'd have to do it in a way that would, like, be reasonable why there.
Because you could throw young Han in there because he was scum then. You could throw in young Lando.
Right.
You could throw in Kira. You could throw in Beckett. You could throw in pretty much the whole team.
It almost feels like Lando could play for any team. I didn't mean it like that, but I was just thinking, like, he could go cross faction, right? Because he Empire, he's working for the Imperials. Return, he's he's working for the Rebels.
It's there's a lot of cool stuff there. I mean, they even mentioned Bosk in passing.
Yeah.
So Bosk is alive during that time, which is was kind of cool. They, when they're camping, they just have a quick quip where they're like, "Why didn't Bosk get hired for this?" And then they go, but they don't like go, "Bosk, the lizard, reptilian character, bounty hunter who it's just it's like a quick little like that movie had a lot of those where it's just like you just a small line.
The and fact
then if of you knew, you knew. If you didn't, you didn't care, right?
The fact of the matter is they're going to, they'll end up doing Mandalorian because it's more recent.
But the child.
I just, until, unless they announce a scum and villainy faction or like sub factions that do different stuff, I don't know how you could have Mandalorian because
what
team would you put?
He's scum and villainy.
Right.
Like, he.
Okay, so he is a good guy. You can't put him on Rebels because he doesn't really fight for the Rebels.
No, he. The problem is he's very, like, scum and villainy could just be a catch-all of like everybody you didn't have a good spot for. So you know, not to spoil any. The problem is the biggest spoiler of The Mandalorian was Baby Yoda.
Right.
And if you haven't seen a meme of that yet,
okay. So sorry. You have 3 seconds. To turn it down for a second, we're going to talk about Mandalorian in 3, 2, 1. Go, Evan.
Oh, now you're... Okay.
Evan!
Go run! So, the biggest spoiler was Baby Yoda, and the internet's just... If you've been able to dodge Baby Yoda, but still be in Star Wars Legion groups and everything, power to you, and I'm sorry you heard it from me, right? Like, whoops, I guess. But there's like a couple scenes where it's like, you know, that I think episode 5 where he's that young bounty hunter's with him.
Yeah.
And then the bounty hunter does a like a double double cross and, you know, he just gets gunned down. And it's very that's very scum and villainy. Right. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't doing it for he was doing it for the fame, even if it double crossed a friend he made in the, to try to get.
Well, right. And I mean, from the beginning, even to episode 6, like Mandalorian, the Mando, I guess we'll call him. He kind of bounces across the line. Like, he's being good, but he's also being bad.
Because
he's, you know, he's going to do bad stuff to make money, but he's also being good because he's doing, you know, protecting villages and little baby Yodas.
Yeah, it's, the show starts real strong with a plot. Like, what's this going to go? And then it kind of turns into one of my favorite shows called Kung Fu, where it's just like, he goes somewhere, there's a problem. He deals with it in, like, his way.
Yeah.
And turns out it's always probably, like, he starts wearing a conscience, right, with Baby Yoda around.
And I know one of the parallels that I kind of drew was it's kind of like Firefly.
Okay, I can see that.
Like, you know, they got a ship. They fly around. It's kind of like a Western. They do some stuff on these different, like, desolate planets. And then they're protecting that girl that's crazy, like, young girl that's
Summer,
that's got all that stuff in her mind. So, like, I don't know.
Spoilers for Firefly.
If you haven't seen Firefly yet, I don't care.
Tis a joke, sire. Tis a joke.
Oh, by the way, there's a movie, too.
Yeah.
It's called Serenity. Enjoy.
But, like, it's the problem with, like, people want the Mando stuff in the thing. I think, you know, you see those fan-made child objective tokens. And that's cool, but I think that's really, you know, I've seen some people swap out Mando's model for Boba Fett.
Sure.
Cool. Like,
I guess.
My problem is it's not him, right? Like, that's,
and it won't, I just don't know how they're going to do it.
They can't until, because this is, well, Mando takes place between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens.
Well, not even in between, it's like. What, 5 years after Return of the Jedi?
I think so, yeah, because they have said, like, it's going to show how the First Order, at least not maybe directly, but, like, give you hints.
Yeah.
Because they talk about the New Republic a few times, like, oh, you better watch out, New Republic going to get you. So there's some, like, cool potential, and I think it would need to be scum and villainy, and they'd need to have the two, like, we all know... First Order and whatever they decide to put against the Resistance is probably going to come, right? Like, why wouldn't it be silly not to? There's some people who grew up with the prequels. They love prequel stuff. There's some people who are going to grow up with The Force Awakens, and they're going to love The Force Awakens stuff. And I can even shout out, like, you know, Finn, Phasma, you got these great characters. You can make characters. Like, right? It's just, it's money. Money on the table.
Is Phasma a great character? What exactly did she do except for betray?
I would say read the book. But the book is pretty good. It's like Lord of the Flies with Phasma. But nobody who, like, right, the movies are the law and the books are the...
I'm not reading any books.
I refuse to read.
You want me to read when there's movies?
Yeah. The problem is, right, she was awesome in the book. And in, like, Battlefront 2, she's good. Like, all the stuff that's not the movie, she's actually pretty good. In, like, X-Wing, as a crew member, she's good. She's just kind of... Even she's flying a TIE SF in an X-Wing as a card pack coming out. Like, everything but the movie, she's cool. And, like, whoops, I guess. but, right, you've got iconic characters like Kylo Ren, Rey. Like, it'd be cool to have that fight, that starter kit.
Well, and I feel like the way the game is now, so to go back to kind of, like, walk this back to Mando, is like, okay, so Iden here, now, once again, didn't play Battlefront 2, understand a little bit of the story, but she started in the Imperial side. Oh, yep. Spoilers for Battlefront 2.
Oh, God, yeah. Sure. At this point, we're firing flares.
She starts with the Empire, but my understanding is she turns at some point.
Yeah, so what happens is...
Spoiler. Go ahead.
I mean, this is also, I guess, Reed Alphabet Squadron, because that kind of ties into what happened with her, too. Not directly, but a little bit.
Okay, so if you haven't read Alphabet Squadron, and you haven't played Battlefront 2, and you plan on doing both of those things, and don't want to hear what's next, the rest of the podcast is a spoiler alert. So just shut it down now.
Shut it all down. So, right, after the Empire loses, the Empire dies, there's these robots that go out that kind of look like people. They're like little floaty droids with, like, cloaks and helmets. And they say, activate this order. I forget. It's like Inferno or something. I don't remember the exact name of it. More or less, you're torching planets. And so they start this, like, storm in atmospheres that just nukes a planet. Just gone. Kills everything. And so what happens is they do that to her home planet. So it was kind of cool being on the Empire, then you see the Death Star blow up again, and you're like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Right, and you're like killing rebels, you're like, we gotta get out of here. And then this game is the first time they introduced the Raider, which is an X-Wing ship they made for X-Wing for like an Imperial, like a capital ship that's small enough that X-Wings could shoot. And so they put it in the game as like their model they're on. So it's cool. You got to see like a fan game made ship become canon, more or less.
Okay.
So they nuke her planet and she goes, I don't really like that. So then she joins a rebellion. And then fights for them to try to stop the planet killer. Where I met with the Furrow Squadron is that's kind of the book of, like, the main character is a defector after they start nuking planets, too.
Uh-huh.
So same thing like Iden, where she's like, wow, this is real messed up. And they never, like, in all the loyalists who are still with the Empire are like, well, no, Palpatine had a reason for this, right? This acid denial, it's got to be something. Or he could just be a terrible person and just was like, if I'm dying... So is everybody else. So there's a, like, they do this, like, you know, like what it means to be like loyal, but it ties in with Alphabet Squadron where, the same thing happens and you see the same people, like not everybody in the Empire is a bad guy, right? You believed in a cause. And then when you take a look at it and you're like, oh, they're kind of terrible, awful things. Then they go to the good side.
Oh, okay.
Or at least they join the resistance against what's left.
So I'm going off the rails here. We're going off the Legion rails. So if all you wanted to hear about was Legion, you can leave now because I'm not talking about that anymore. All
right.
So I was thinking about this today.
Real take.
Yeah.
The new opera stuff looks good. We'll talk about it probably cares? Again.
It don't matter. It won't matter until we know more. So anyways, screw all this Legion stuff. Let's talk about something real. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
So the 9th. And final installment of the Skywalker saga comes out this week.
It sure does.
I have a question. You've read some of the books. I'm sorry, podcast land. I don't have time to read and to keep up on everything that's going on.
If only you had an hour drive on the way to work, you could just do audiobooks. Okay?
I know. Mean,
you're missing out on that.
I guess. But then what would I... whose podcast would I... Anyways. here's my question. Okay. So, the rebels turned into the
New Republic.
Okay. Then the resistance is what?
So it unfortunately it's not super explained. So it's like, it might be a book I haven't read, but I've kept anything new that's out,
yeah,
minus like Aftermath, and there's a three trilogy book there that I didn't really get into. But all the current stuff I've kept up on, even the Black Spire Outpost stuff, which is Disney, written for Disney to sell, make you go, sure, to Disney. I still loved it, whatever. It's not super, like, so the First Order kind of comes around pretty quick after the fall of the Empire.
Okay.
And it's kind of, again, I could be wrong, but it's like assumed that a lot of the remnants of the Empire just, you know, booked everything together. That's why they have the same kind of ships, right? Yeah. Everything's very, sure, similar. They just said, hey, we're not going,
right,
to take this. They do that.
We don't care if Vader and Palpatine are gone. We're still going to do this.
Yeah, they weren't really, like, just the Resistance until they did that. The Planet Killer, Star yeah, Killer base, and kind of wiped out like everything.
Right? Well, like, okay, so you have the New Republic, who has ships and, yeah, all this stuff. Because I remember them talking about it. I gotta watch Force Awakens again.
Yeah,
but then they're the Resistance against the First Order because for some reason the New Republic doesn't want to get involved or doesn't believe the First Order.
Yeah, that's very like muddled. The easy way to sell it is they wanted a underdog faction to fight a Imperial faction, and this is the way they decided to do it. The canon answer is I'm not really sure. The problem is I read all the literature and things they put out are like a Master and Apprentice was Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. Great. Man, yeah, I'd love an Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon model. That'd be a cool duo. Like young Qui-Gon, right? Well, unfortunately, they've already put like older Obi-Wan. Anyway. Like that was great. Alpha Squadron was like a what happens to like all the rebellion people who are all war torn and messed up. Cool. Gosh, I don't know what else I've read. Thrawns, like one of the.
So
Thrawns.
You don't have the answer then?
I don't for this. Me. No, I don't because there's not really anything out like that I've seen.
Come on, someone's gonna comment
that's
on this
fine
podcast and they're gonna tell us what's happening and I'm gonna be disappointed in you.
Well, isn't that how it always is? So, like, yeah, it's, the problem is, the Mandalorian was supposed to explain, like, give you a little bit of why the First Order came up, and they've just kind of like not progressed,
yep,
the story.
Six episodes, yeah, in, and we have no idea.
Not even like because that's you're not necessarily watching it for that, but they made the hint that like they would talk about it a little bit.
All right, so we'll switch topics to Mandalorian. So here's my issue. I love every episode. I've loved
it's
every
good
episode. It's really good.
I'm just
my
worried
concern
that
is
episodes
yeah
short.
They're playing it like a 22 episode series,
yeah,
with 8 episodes, and it's like, wait a second, are we gonna get a story here? Or
yeah, so like again, like all the episodes I've watched and I've come out being like, well, that was good,
yeah,
then I look and I'm like, well, there's 2 more episodes, hope this starts,
yeah,
picking up. And they're, you were right, they're playing it like so take a show like, I love like Cowboy Bebop, right?
Yep.
First 2 episodes matter. There's like 3 in the middle and then like 2 or 3 at the end. But all the others you can just watch any order you want. So you can do that with this. Like after episode 3, so far like 4, 5, and 6, you could just swap them any
right
way you want, right?
Doesn't matter.
And then it's just the continuing adventures of the Lone Wolf and Cub, if you will, right?
Right.
And that's cool. But with, I'm worried, like again, They could just say, oh, season 2 starts March or something, right? Like,
they could.
They
yeah,
they could just do that in another 8. But if I just wish they had just told me season 1's going to be 28 episodes. And if they're just kind of meandering like this, it's fine. As long as I know like that's what you're going for. But with 8, like, unfortunately, it's compared to games shows like Game of Thrones, which are like each episode's like a movie, right?
Yeah, well, okay. So you have... you have shows like Firefly or like,
yep,
or what's another one that a Person of Interest, that's a good TV
okay
show too,
yep,
where it's like 23 episodes. There's an overarching story that's happening, but you can have all this filler in the middle where maybe you're getting pieces of the puzzle that
sure
are like, okay, you know, like there's people we've met in season 1 that are going to come back and at the end of season 1 or in season
yeah,
2,
yeah,
right? You didn't think they mattered at the time, but it may circle back. Okay, cool. Here's the problem. You have 8 episodes and literally 4 of them have been nothing. Like
yeah,
zero.
That's
mean,
a problem.
Maybe I'm wrong and maybe like the last episode's going to be like a 3-hour spectacular that brings back all the greatest hits, but like as of right now, it's like, okay, I'm down with a kung fu western meandering cowboy ronin type character, awesome, but I mean, we need an overarching story.
Yeah, we do and we don't. If it was sold to us as a lot of episodes, like, it could be. They could just have not said anything. It could be 100 episodes, and they're just going to... They said 8 to see if people were going to watch it. Turns out Disney Plus
made them...
Yeah, crazy mess. Like, oh, well, we're going to make 1,000 of these, right? Like, cool. But the expectation given to us was 8.
Yeah.
Right? And so then, like, it's... I enjoy them, but it's hard for me to always keep that nagging thing out of my mind after I get done an episode, and I'm like, well, what's going on?
Okay, right? I guess.
Like, again, if it was the expectation was, hey, this is going to be a continuing series, we're going to do as many episodes until you don't want them anymore. And so when you get these Mirandering things, you're just like, okay, cool. Like, you can eat them, and they're bite-sized stories, and they're fun, and they're interesting. You get more Star Wars, like, the cool, like, action Star Wars, like,
yeah. I guess my problem is to relate it more to Star Wars stuff. They're treating it like it's Clone Wars or Rebels, but they also have 20 episodes. Like,
yeah, right, that you're right though. So
you could have 20 half an hour episodes. That's okay if you have 20.
I do like how not all episodes are the same length.
Yeah.
So if they've got an episode a little longer, they need to put a little more in, like, they're free to just, like, oh, this is a 39 minute episode and this is a 29 minutes, like,
but yeah, that's been cool.
And like, because not every chapter of a book is the same length, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Well, again, like, it's fun. Like, so if they had a last episode's like an hour and a half, let's say they just do like a movie or something at the end,
sure,
like,
or yeah, right, the next two episodes could just tie it all up, and I could be completely wrong, which the next one comes out Wednesday, right? Wednesday or Thursday?
Oh, does it?
I believe it comes out early this week because they don't want to step on their own toes with the new movie.
We got so much content. Mandalorian. Let me look up right now.
Yeah, why don't you look it up right now? But anyways, yeah, I love The Mandalorian. I'm not disrespecting it.
No,
I'm just concerned because I'm like, I want to know what's happening.
Well, you're like trained, right? They're training us to... When you do a Netflix or a special on streaming service, like, this is a premiere thing. This is the reason you're here.
Right.
Disney Plus, sure, there's a ton of Disney stuff I love. I love watching Clone Wars. Love having... I own most of the Star Wars movies, so getting them on streaming service is, like, cool, I guess. Having all the other Disney movies was cool, but I can get those, right? Those aren't, like...
Right.
Crazy stuff. So I'm here for The Mandalorian.
Yep.
Because if not, I'll just watch what I want and leave and then resubscribe when they come back, right? And they're even doing the, hey, it's not all out at one time.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't, but they got to keep me in, right? Like, so it is, yeah, today's the 16th. The next episode is the 18th, and then the 27th is the final episode.
Yeah, so it'll be Wednesday and then back to Friday, because they don't, which is, you know, I get it. Because if it, yeah, I wouldn't, maybe it coincides with something that happens, I doubt it, but... I mean,
oh, that'd be real cool.
Okay.
Like a real weird deep cut.
Yeah. Like, to go back to, like, okay, so if you didn't want us, okay, if you wanted it to just be this episodic, you know, cowboy Ronin walking around doing, meeting different people, doing crazy stuff in the Star Wars universe, that's cool. You shouldn't have done Baby Yoda, because that, everyone's like, okay, well, now what's happening?
Yeah, that's a problem. So it's so marketable, right?
Right.
I kind of want a Baby Yoda, like, and they're like $24.99. We got it. They had the Lego set of the AT-ST ready the day after that episode. They know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
This isn't just like, oops, we fell into it and it's popular. But the kicker was, like, the big twist was Baby Yoda. And or the child,
right?
And
what does this all mean? And then they're like, it means nothing. It means he gets locked in a closet on a ship for 4 episodes is what it means.
Right. So, like, if that had been a mid-season reveal, like, where he's just kind of like fighting and, like, you're like, oh, where's this going? And he finds a child, like, episode 4, and then it's like 8 episodes. You're like, well, he's got to figure this out. Right.
Yeah.
Like, what's, it's so, like, I like it a lot. I love The Mandalorian. I love to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
I just want, like, I am, again, we talk about stuff because we're passionate about it.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we can kind of, like...
I have to say, I did laugh. Okay, spoilers for this latest episode. Spoilers for this latest episode, the one that just
episode
aired on Friday. Please,
6.
Please, spoilers alert. Where towards the end, I won't give away too much, but towards the end, it looks like he's about to use his powers, and then Mando shoots, and then he looks at his hand. And, like, I did laugh at that.
Yeah,
I was like, that's pretty funny.
Dude, it's the whole thing was really good. So Right, that was actually one of the longer episodes, and it was...
By the way, Bill Burr is, like, one of my favorite comedians, so for him being in it, I was like, oh, man, this just got good.
You know, that's funny. He was on the H3 podcast a while ago, and he was talking about that. He's like, he was at a party with his wife, and, like, some Disney heads were there, and then one of the people approached him, like, hey, do you want to be in Star Wars? We got, like, a cameo spot for you. He's like, I don't know. And his wife, like, is like, are you, like, did you hit your head in the way in? Like, yes, yeah. Go do it. And he's like, yeah. Okay, I guess. And he's like, yeah, that was really smart for me to do that. Like, that was a good move for me to do that.
I love Bill Burr. And he's so honest about all that stuff. Like, he'll go on, he'll just be like, somebody will be like, why don't you do more of this? He's like, because I hate it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
and then he's talking about how he's not good looking enough to be like a real actor. Oh my God, I love it. He's good.
He did a very good scum and villainy character.
He did. He did an excellent one. Like, yeah. I always, because it's very Han Solo-esque in the fact that, like, sense of humor, snarky,
yeah,
and is like commenting on the ridiculous things that we're watching, right?
Yeah.
And that's all you could ask for. So.
I did love how the episode turned into like a horror movie,
oh,
like halfway through,
so
and he
good.
Was just like hunting them down after like they turned on him. But like if you haven't, like if you're still listening and you haven't turned off, thank you. You
know, I don't care. Spoiler.
I gave you the spoiler tag. It was no, that was very good. Like again, like I enjoyed that. Like
yeah.
The episode was fun, and then you even got to see a guy in a Fleet Trooper helmet who actually was. That guy was the voice of Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So like,
so the three X-wing pilots were all the director, three of the directors from the TV show.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Like,
so it was the guy that directed that episode. Yeah. It was David Filoni who does Rebels, Clone Wars, and does, I think did three episodes of this.
Yeah.
And then I forgot her name, but she directed the episode where all the Mandalorians were attack in the
good
town
episode, yeah,
and then she's directing the next one, this one that's coming out this
cool.
week. Yeah, so
I wonder
really
if they're
exciting.
Keeping her for pivotal episodes, like
yeah, I heard she they really liked her work so much she's gonna be the director of the Obi-Wan series.
Oh wow,
yeah,
damn. I know Taika Waititi was IG-11,
yeah,
his voice, and he's doing the last episode.
Oh good.
So that's like, man, it's just, it's like when Daniel Craig was in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
That's just a stormtrooper in a helmet, right?
Yeah.
Like, somebody with that name, with that, like, he's Bond, right? He's an icon in the movie
right.
industry. And they're like, hey, do you want to be in Star Wars? He's like, yeah, I 100% want to be in Star Wars. We've got the stormtrooper part. He's like, oh, okay, yeah. Right? Like, it's Star Wars, right? Like, it's,
so for those of you who are wondering, if you hadn't heard this already, he's the one that in Force Awakens, when Rey uses the mind trick power on the stormtrooper, he's that stormtrooper, and he drops his gun and walks out.
Yeah.
That's Daniel Craig.
It's well, James Bond, right?
Like, well, and they've been doing a lot of that stuff. So like in the Last Jedi, in the crate scene where they're all lining up, so there's a bunch of like Gareth Edwards, who directed Rogue One, is in there.
That's
cool. Joe Cornish, who's a director, and what's his the guy that directed Scott Pilgrim and Baby Driver. Oh shoot, his name just dropped out of my head.
Yeah, I'm not really good with directors.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway, so he, you know, sorry, I had his name and I lost it. During dinner later, it'll come
choked.
To me. But anyways, yeah, I love how they incorporate, because we're all Star Wars fans, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, I guess we'll wrap it up. Sorry, everybody, that last 15-20 minutes was not about Legion, but guess what? I don't care. It was about Star Wars, so take that.
Yeah, it was about Star Wars.
We warned you. We gave spoiler warnings, and I hope everyone enjoys the new movie this week. I hope I enjoy the new movie this week. You probably won't hear a reaction from us for 3 weeks,
because
we won't even be back until the week of the new year. So,
yeah, that's fair, and we'll keep, you know, we'll keep.
We won't spoil, but we'll definitely react about whether or not we liked it. And for, you know, we'll have our holiday spectacular next week, and we will, you know, for everyone, have a happy holiday if you celebrate, and enjoy your time with your family, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.